The following is a conversation with His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded on July 9th, 1973, in London, England.
Simply for Krishna, things simply to understand Krishna. And anything else, question time. But in Krishna's connection, there are varieties. Does it mean, although the dikta phone is there, still I shall light in my hand? Krishna consciousness cannot touch this. We don't follow this nonsense, brother. Unnecessary bhairag. Shushko bhairag. Dry renunciation.
Shushko bhairag?
Shushko. Shushko means dry. Oh, it is material, I shall not touch. I shall not touch. Just like that rascal Ramakrishna. If anyone wanted to give him some money, no, he does not touch money. These rascals, why shall he not touch? Come on, you have got money, George Harrison, spread. Yes, come on, I shall take it. But Krishna, we haven't come to this house for living very comfortably and enjoying. No. You have come here for Krishna's sake.
This point is revolutionary in spiritual circles.
Yeah.
Because
it is Krishna's property. It is not my property, neither George's property. This is a mistake. Everything belongs to Krishna. So it must be utilized for Krishna.
Simply they don't know Bhagavad Gita. They don't know Bhagavad Gita, therefore they don't understand this.
No, therefore I say all immediately. How you are all rascals. We have got a test. Test you. As soon as one is not Krishna conscious, he is rascal. He is miscreant. He is lowest of the mankind. He has no knowledge. These are the groups which belong. He may think that he is a very big man, Nixon, but we know that he is a rascal number one. This is Krishna consciousness. You can understand immediately what he is what. By this test, Namanga Diskitanam Murha Prabhupada Narada. Maya apayutam kyana asuri bhava.
He said, if he's coming from God, then what difference does it
difference
make?
Difference is that you are a fool, God is not fool. Yeah. That is the difference. What God will speak, he not speaks foolish, because he is above all this foolishness. But you are within the foolishness. That is the difference. Try to answer them like that. You are within the status of foolishness, maya. And God is above maya. If God is also within the maya, these are lust and mayavadi said, then what is the use of God? He has everything.
They just accumulate knowledge just for knowledge.
His
argument was, well, there's no point in talking about this matter. All of us accept this. He's saying all big authorities, they accept this point of view that this was recently written literature.
No, it's his authorities. You don't know who are authorities.
That's right.
You manufacture your own authorities. You do not know. That is your misfortune. You do not know who is authority.
They all smoke cigarettes and they think they're authorities. Nonsense.
And I met another old authority on Sanskrit, and he's sitting behind his desk, and his whole body is shaking. No, I'm not interested in the spiritual side of these Vedas. I'm just interested in the Sanskrit. He's dying, you know, and still he's like a... That's their authority. You can't save them then.
Adhakhi. Adhakhi. They're called Adhakhi.
What's that?
External.
That's right.
Adhakhi.
I used to know this.
Like the one is interested in the body, not in the soul. So he is a fool. This sculptor, he is simply interested in the outward body. He has no knowledge of the soul.
Interesting.
And he wants to become a very famous man, remaining in the category of ashes. Because one who is in the bodily concept of life, he is an ass. Gopara. Kara means ass. Sayama Gopara. Jasyatma buddhi kuna piti dhāt. Anyone who is in the bodily concept of life, he is no better than anyone. The cats and dogs, they are also in the bodily concept of life. Sayama Gopara. So he has not advanced beyond these cats and dogs. Because he is in the same conception, I am this body. A dog cannot understand that you are not this body. So similarly, if a human being cannot understand that he is not this body, what is the difference between him and the dog? So Shastra says, Saiva Gokara. He is no better than the cows and the asses. And actually that is the fact. The first instruction of Bhagavad Gita, they cannot take it. And they scholars. That is the most regrettable situation, that these fools and rascals under the bodily concept of life, they have become authority. Actually, they are assets.
Yes.
Yes.
I used to observe when I was going to the university that all my professors, their intellectual business was just a profession, like digging ditches.
Yes, sir. And for earning money.
For their pleasure. For their pleasure, they're going home to drink beer and eat steak. That's all they're really interested in. And they're just working to make money. Yeah.
That's right.
I could see it. I didn't want to follow their footsteps. They had
it's
nothing
like a sweeper is cleansing the road for money. And they are going as professor. But the category is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make any distinction between that sweeper and this professor.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hog and cat and dog. The hog is also working hard. All day and night for stew, eating. But this man is also working like that. Beyond that, he has no other knowledge.
The scientists, they have a term, psychologists, they call it an idiot savant. Idiot savant means he's an idiot, but he has one particular talent, and because of that talent, he can get along. Just like sometimes you find an idiot, he can look at a column of figures, and he can compute the sum in his head very easily. But he can't even understand how to tie his shoes. And I think these scholars are like that. They're actually idiots, but they have one talent for Sanskrit or for history. And because of that, they can get along. They can support their body. But otherwise, they have no qualifications.
Shudra.
Yeah.
Unless he gets that pose, he will start. He has got some talent in some particular subject, but he must get some service. By serving others, he will be able to utilize his talent and get some money, then he will eat. This is Shudra's business. Dog's business. Just like a dog, unless he has got a nice master, his position is very precarious. A street dog. Nobody will care. Rather, he is a satra.
You point out in Srimad Bhagavatam that They go to school and learn to become PhD, then they have to knock on the door for a job, and no one will open the door.
No vacancy, sir. So just like dog.
They have a way to force them to work. The politicians force the scholars.
Yeah.
If they don't print books, if they don't write a book every now and then and print it, get it published, they lose their tenure, their position as a professor. They must produce one book, then another book, then another book. If they don't, finished. And this is what they're working all the time.
The Maharajis in India, they don't educate their sons, just like Billa. They say, we can purchase these Jaskans, why we should waste our time? So-called technician, so-called expert computer, you know, we can purchase. Why we should waste our time?
It's the same thing I learned in Germany. First I wanted to get my own press.
Yeah.
I studied the situation very carefully. I saw it was ridiculous for us to do that. It's so much hard work. It's much easier to collect the money in the street by giving the magazine and then paying someone. They work very hard and do it. Everything is like that. Okay. There are so many people that can do everything. The one thing that people can't do is distribute Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
And for that, Krishna is giving so much money.
That much. Only for this purpose one should have
done. Krishna is paying us for
that. You cannot purchase Krishna consciousness if you have got money. That you have to cultivate.
Yeah, when Mr. Birla is getting old, then he has to come to us if he has any sense.
No, they say, they simply give primary education, ABCD. They can read, that's all. And Sanskrit. They don't send because everyone knows sending boys to the school will spoil their school. I have seen intelligent boys, they go to school and spoil. He learns how to smoke, how to use sex, how to talk nonsense, how to use knife, how to fight, these things. At least at the present moment.
Yeah.
Simply slaughter this so-called school's called slaughter.
It was when I went to school, I was a nice little boy. Yeah. In school I fell down. Only one
minute. You must have been intelligent. And so, time was wasted. So our this gurukul should be taken care of very nicely. So nice preachers may come out. Brahma. Nice Brahma.
I'm still thinking about the other morning you were talking about how everything is actually spirit. Everything is composed of spiritual atoms, actually, souls. And we say it, when we talk about the...
Yeah, that is Vedic Bhasha.
Yeah.
Sarvam Kharidam Brahma. Everything is Brahma.
When we speak about the transmigration of the soul, we speak about 8,400,000 species. Does that include the inanimate objects as well within those 8,400,000?
Sthavara. Sthavara. They are called sthavara, immovable. Even hills, mountains, stones, they are called sthavara. Trees, sthavara, one which cannot move.
So actually we don't really...
Sthavara lakhavimshati. 2 million types of sthavara.
So we don't actually discriminate between the tree and say the atom as a living entity.
Yeah.
Little by little, it's coming clear.
Sthavara. Sthavara means one cannot move. standing. Sthavara jangam. There are two kinds of living entities. One moving, one not moving.
But the atom is always in motion. Huh? The atom and molecules are always constantly moving.
That movement is different. That is not independent.
Is that to say that a stone has a living entity in it?
Yes.
Actually, what we discussed is that even the elements, the atoms, everything is made of nothing but spirit souls in fallen conditions. Because everything comes from Brahma Jyoti, which is nothing but spirit souls.
Yeah.
And Brahma Jyoti, therefore, soul never changes. So this manifestation is from Brahma Jyoti. Therefore, it is made of souls. And there's nothing else but spirit souls. Yesterday, a few days ago, we discussed that.
It is simply covered by another energy, which is called material energy. And that is Maya. Maya means there is not action, not factual. The example is given just like the sun is covered by the cloud. The cloud is nothing but another creation of sun. But when the cloud comes, sun is invisible. Similarly, this condition, forgetfulness, is my creation.
Mm.
And when I am covered by this forgetfulness, I become stones and atoms.
In Bhagavad Gita it says the soul is immovable.
Uh-huh.
In the second chapter there is a verse that says the soul is immovable.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly? Are we not moving? There's a verse that says immovable and...
Sthanu. Immovable means... Fixed up.
You mean it's nature, isn't it? We are
not changeable.
It's unchangeable. Not that we are not moving, we are moving.
Might be that word was not properly used. Sthanu, the word is sthanu. That was Sanskrit. What do you mean? Sthanu. Rachalayam, achalayam, yes.
The point of all those...
That means achala, also so. Achala. Achala means that there is nothing more. Sthanu rachalayam. The Lord was given, you can see. Now there is no time.
Start the class.
The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada and Schoolmaster David Lawrence, recorded July 9th, 1973, in London, England.
Got a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Kumaru Masare Praga Dharmana Bhagavatani Ha Durlabha Manasam Janam Tadapi Adhruvam Arthat. From the very childhood, Kaumara is the age from 5 to 14 years, or 18 years.
Mm.
This is Kaumara age.
Yes.
So, Prahlad Maharaj, he was a devotee when he was only 5 years old. And his father was atheist number one. So, there was great misunderstanding between the father and the son. The father was insisting the son that he give up this line of Krishna consciousness. He become politician. He have to control over the kingdom and so on. So on. But he would not give up. This is the misunderstanding between the father and the son. So, at the age of 5 years, he was preaching. But how he was preaching? He was preaching because the father instructed the teacher, just look about this boy that he may not take to Krishna consciousness. Stick, that is my order. So teachers are not allowing him. But he was taking opportunity in the tiffin hour.
Mm-hmm. What?
Tiffin hour.
Tiffany.
Recess. Mm-hmm. When the teacher's gone and students are free to go. He was calling his classmate and others and just preaching. So, we call tiffin now in India. Because we take some tiffin in the school and we eat it during that. So he was preaching that Kumarana, the other boys, they were insisting, Prahlada, why you are so much anxious about preaching Krishna consciousness? Let us play. It is our time to play. So, no, he said, no. This is the time to learn Krishna consciousness. Because you are teaching that one. That Kumara age, from 5 years to 15 years, that is the right age for educating Krishna consciousness. That this is the word of Kumara Nācarita Prajna Dharmāna Bhāgavatāna Dūrlamam Mārusan Janma. He says that this human form of body is very rarely gotten, and it is a rare opportunity for having our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness or God consciousness is there in every human, especially civilized. So, it is not an artificial thing. Just like all my students, they are Europeans, Americans. 4 or 5 years ago, they did not know anything about Krishna. Neither they knew the name of Krishna. But now, we can see how they are absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So it is not an artificial thing.
No.
If it had been an artificial, they would not have been so serious. But it is a dormant consciousness. I have simply awakened. Otherwise, that is the statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that everyone is Krishna conscious. Somewhere or other, it is now snubbed down, they have forgotten. But if an opportunity is given, then you can hear. So this movement is giving opportunity to arouse that dormant Krishna consciousness which is already there in everyone. So if you take that process and arouse this Krishna consciousness among the student, it will be great service to the humanity. As a teacher, you will give the greatest service.
Yes, I agree.
Kumbhāno ācarita prāgya dharmāna bhāgavatāna. And this is the only opportunity of awakening our Krishna consciousness. So if we do not give that opportunity to the human being from the childhood, it is jealous. Jealousy means that you have got some opportunity. But if I do not allow you to take that opportunity, this is called jealous. So every human being has got the potential of awakening the God consciousness or Krishna consciousness in this human form of God. So if you do not give that opportunity, it is jealous. Therefore students must be educated. And if you are writing such nice book, I think you will give a great service to your nation and to the human society in India. Thus, dullabha manasam janma, this human form of life. Unfortunately, people do not understand what is the distinction between this human form of life and animal form of life.
Very often nothing, is it? Material.
The only difference is that the human form of life, you can awaken your Krishna consciousness. In the animal form, here we are sitting with all human form of life, gentlemen, civilized. I cannot call cats and dogs and sit here and to understand what is Krishna consciousness. That is not possible. Therefore, this opportunity should be given. This opportunity is living. And especially, you are English nation, a recognized great nation, respectful, we are respected. Especially in India, we have got very good respect for English nation. We had connection for so many years. And the politicians, they spoil, otherwise we like this British Empire. Means unity of a human being all over the world. That can be revived again. That can be revived again. If you come to this Krishna consciousness movement, your queen comes to that. There is process. There is process. You can revive your British Empire. It is not story. If you people take little advice from me, I can help. Yes, you are intelligent nation, so kindly do this service to the students and have from the dormant Krishna consciousness to be a great service. And we are meant for helping you all. So you can inquire, you are at liberty to come at any time and inquire any question.
We're working predominantly with the older age group, of course, the 14, 15.
Our Krishna consciousness movement is based directly on the instruction of Krishna. Our Krishna consciousness movement is nothing but to accept Krishna's instruction as it is.
Yes.
Krishna's instruction is there, it is open to everyone. Not only open to us, anyone, Bhagavad Gita. It is widely read literature in the world. But unfortunately, they have been misinterpreted.
Very interesting to read one of the very Western versions, that of Professor Zeiner of Oxford. And on one or two points of contention between yourself and other translators of the Bhagavad Gita. In fact, he nearly always went with you. Now, he's reckoned to be one of the foremost Western Sanskrit scholars. And he, every time, emphasized the devotional tone of your translation. Nearly every time. I was very impressed by that.
We talked with that Professor Zeiner, and he may come. He's going to see.
That is the only interpretation. Krishna and Arjuna. Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. He is plainly speaking that I am speaking to you, this Bhagavad Gita, because you are my devotee. Bhaktosi priyosi me. Rahasam jetad uttamam. The first condition to understand Bhagavad Gita is to become a devotee of Krishna. So in the Bhagavad Gita, the only talk is about devotion. There is no other talk. There are other talks, but they are subordinate. They are not principal talk. The principal talk is to understand Krishna through bhakti yoga. Bhakti amam avijanati javan jaschami tat. You understand
Sanskrit? Yes,
yes. So, he says, one can understand me only through bhakti. He has spoken about jnana, yoga, karma, everything. But if anyone wants to know Krishna, then he says, it is his direct order, bhaktya mamavijana, javana jaschami tattata. In truth, what I, if anyone wants to know, that can be known through bhakti, no other way.
I was very interested this last week to be reading a book which really was trying to defend Orthodox Christianity. And it was by a very devotional Christian writer. And he, in fact, was making exactly the same points as yourself about the God consciousness of Jesus. I read the Radhayatra magazine and saw how, I think it was a nun had asked you about the position of Jesus on this, and you quite rightly said, well, of course, Jesus never claimed to be God. I do wish that some Christians would realize that. He was God-conscious, wasn't he?
Yes.
The churches in this land seem to have forgotten that. He never claimed to be God.
No, how can he claim? He's a devotee of God, he's a servant of God. How can he claim? Of course, there is no difference between God and his servant. Because a devotee, like Lord Jesus Christ, being confidential, servant of God, there is no difference between God and himself. Just like any political representative or business representative, if he is a confidential representative, there is no difference between the king or the proprietor of the farm, so long he represents rightly. Similarly, anyone who represents God or the cause of God, is not divine from God. We should offer respect to such person exactly like God. That is our instruction of the Acharya. Sakshad Haritena Samastha Shastri Rukta. In every shastra, the spiritual master is recognized as personally the Supreme Lord. But why he is recognized? Kintu Prabhurja Priya Evatasya. Because he is the most dear servant of the Lord. That is natural. Suppose some representative or some farm comes and if I know that he is the most confidential, I must respect him very nicely so that he may be impressed and he may report, these people are very nice. So this is the ordinary etiquette. What to speak of the actual representative of God. Sakshad Haritena Samastha Shastrai Rukta. Rukta means it is already said. Tatha Bhavata Eva Sadhi. Those who are advanced in devotional service, they accept this principle. But why? Kintu Prabhurja Priya Eva Tasa. Because he is the most confidential servant. Bandi Gurasi Chadanarim. This is we pray to offer our prayers to our spiritual master. So it is very nice you are attempting. I am very glad. So you can inquire from me anything. The first thing I shall request you, the first principle of Krishna consciousness or the first ABCD of spiritual education is to understand the constitutional position of the living entity. He is spirit soul. He is not this body. The spirit soul is living within this body. But the body is not the spirit soul. This thing first be understood very clearly. You know, in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, Dehinasmin jatha dehe. Dehino. The proprietor of the body is within this body. Dehin asmin dehe jatha. And the body is changing. From childhood to boyhood to youth, like that. So, when this body is useless, he will take another body. Tatha dehantaram prapti. This first education of spiritual life should be understood first. Then one can make progress. Then one can understand what is the constitution of God, what is our relationship with Him. But so long we shall remain under the bodily concept of life, the subject matter will remain difficult.
There's one matter that I'd love to ask you about, which is I found personally difficulty, because perhaps I haven't had the Bhagavad Gita as it is as long as I should have done. Is to really feel that I've got to grips with the idea of a spiritual sky. I couldn't quite understand whether there was any form at all of symbolism coming into the idea of the various stages of planets and so on, or whether in fact this was a very physical.
Okay, well, we'll get that. Find out this verse. Parastasmat bhavanya first call, Pandit Mahasaya.
Barasthas.
Pandit Mahasaya. Yeah. We have got nice index in this book.
Yes, indeed.
You can find out any verse. Parahtasmat tu bhava anya bhaktya bhaktya sanatana.
Parahtasmat tu bhava anya bhaktya bhaktya sanatana yasa saveshu bhuteshu nasyasu na vinaskati.
Translation.
Yet there is another nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
That is spiritual world. This material world is created. The spiritual world is not created. It is eternal.
Yes.
So, we have given an idea of the picture. So, there is another nature which is called spiritual nature. Parastasmat bhava anya para. That is also admitted by all the acharyas, yes, Shankaracharya. You have heard the name of Shankaracharya. He also says, Narayana para abhaktya Narayana para. So, there is para. Para means superior. Narayana belongs to that superior nature. That means spiritual nature.
This is an annoying habit of the Western mind, you know, to think in spatial terms. And it's possibly hang-ups from Christian theology, in a sense, that I wanted to persist with this questioning even further about, you know, the real nature as far as the Bhagavad Gita gives it to us.
Now you have to become little free from the biased idea of Christian
theology. This is what I thought, yes. This is what
I thought. Otherwise you cannot
yes.
Make.
Yes. Yes. Humility.
You have to come to the platform of general common sense.
Yes.
If you become biased, then it is impossible.
Yes.
Then you cannot make power. You have to come to the platform. Now, the common sense is that can you distinguish between matter and spirit? Can you distinguish that I was speaking? That the distinction between matter and spirit. The spirit is the vital force.
Yes.
All you call spirit, soul or atma. That you can distinguish. As soon as the vital force is off from this body, this body is a lump of matter. Therefore, even if you do not know the spirit soul, any sane man can guess that something is missing in this body. Therefore, this body is called dead. Now, that something he is described definitely is soul. So, we can distinguish between the spirit and soul somewhere or other. So, as there is material world, there must be some spiritual world. Otherwise, how the spirit is there? The spirit is there, the soul is there, that is spiritual. So two things we are experiencing, spirit and matter. So as we are experiencing this material world, so similarly there must be spiritual world. There must be spiritual world. Otherwise what from the spirit comes?
Yes.
Now, this spirit is eternal. That is the first understanding. Tatha dehantaram prati. This spirit is occupying a material body at the present moment. And the next, when this, just like, I am in this apartment, If I find some inconvenience, I go to another spot.
Mm-hmm.
Or the lease is expired, I have to leave it. Somewhere other, I change.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, you can change your coat. So, these are explained in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Vāśāṁsi jinnāni yathāvihāya. Very nicely exemplified. So, we are changing this apartment or dress and accepting another. This is going on. This is the material world. But I, the spirit soul, eternal, nitta sāsatayam nāhannati hannamāni sajiji. Find out this verse. Na jāyati miyati vā kadāchi. Na jāyati miyati vā kadāchi. Second chapter. Everything is there in Bhagavad Gita. If you can introduce studies of Bhagavad Gita amongst the students, it would be great service.
I think it would be a great deal more popular than studies of the Bible.
Yes.
Because there isn't the
psychology, there is philosophy.
Yes, indeed.
Everything.
This is a
religion without philosophy is sentiment.
Mm.
And philosophy without religion is mental speculation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Two things must be combined.
Yes.
And that is Bhagavad.
For the soul there is no rebirth and death.
Najayate. I'll somebody find out the verse.
Najayate.
Read it.
Najayate mriyate vakadachin.
Najayate mriyate vakadachin. Nayam putva bhavita vagabhuya. Ajo nityak sashvato yam purano gavanyate hanyamane sharire.
Yes. Now, read the meaning, translation.
For the soul there is never birth nor death.
This is the nature of the soul.
Nor having once been does he ever cease to be. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, undying, and primable. He is not slain when the body is slain.
These things, first of all, must be understood.
Mm. Mm.
Immortality of the soul,
mm-hmm.
transmigration of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Then other things will be easier.
Mm.
And because this is eternal, therefore, there is another spiritual world which is also the same nature, eternal. That is explained. What is that part? Find out. Pastasmat bhavanna sarvesu nasasu naminasu. The spiritual world existing eternally, this material world being annihilated, dissolved, that is not dissolved. Exactly like this body being annihilated, the soul is not annihilated. Similarly, the material world, it is bhutta bhutta praliyate. It takes place at a certain date and it is annihilated at a certain date. Exactly like this body, anything material.
Mm.
It has got a date of creation and it has got a date of annihilation. But as the spirit soul is not annihilated, even after the annihilation of the body. Similarly, there is another spiritual world which is never annihilated, even after annihilation of this material. What is that?
Parastasmātu bhāvanyo vyakto vyaktāt sanātana. Yaksa
sarveshu
bhuteshu
nasyatsu na vinasyati. Sarveshu bhuteshu nasyatsu na vinasyati. What is the meaning?
Yet there is another nature, which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is.
This matter, which you are seeing, this is manifested. But there is material stock, unmanifested. Stock of water, stock of fire, stock of earth, layer. This universe is covered by different layers.
Mm-hmm.
And each layer is 10 times bigger than the other layer. That is unmanifested.
Mm-hmm.
That is unmanifested. Therefore, bhaktya bhaktya.
Yes.
This, what we see, this is manifested.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But this talk, just like from this talk of your say stone and lime and cement and brick, you make a skyscraper building manifest. But this talk is also there. Talk is also there. Similarly, this manifested material world is there. It is taken from this talk. This talk is huge talk there is. We get information layer the universe. And penetrating all these layers, you have to go to the spiritual world. In the Bhagavad there is that Krishna took Arjuna's friend, penetrating the layers to the spiritual world. He took it. You have read that in the Krishna book, there is. You have read?
Yes.
He could. So Arjuna was fortunate to go in this body, to go to the spiritual world and see it and come back again.
One other thing that interested me was the idea that Arjuna was in some way deliberately, if you like, deliberately misguided, planned almost to be misguided in the Bhagavad Gita. How does this
He does not be, he was purposefully misguided, so that he could put question like a misguided man.
Yes.
And the right answer may come from Krishna. It is for our benefit. He is not misguided.
No.
But he played the part of misguided.
Yes, what we would say. And
just like a person is playing in the stage as a fool, but he may be very educated. So, but for the dramatic expression of talk, he might play as a fool. Similarly, Arjuna's position is, he cannot be misguided. He is personal friend of Krishna.
Yes.
He cannot be misguided.
But it was for our benefit.
But, and nobody can talk with Krishna also. Nobody is so qualified. So, somebody who talk with Krishna must be very qualified. But he is playing the part of a fool man. Otherwise he is not misguided. He knows everything.
One other point, and again a practical point really, this one. This is about the nature of the book. I suggested early on that I hoped that I might get the cooperation of somebody like George Harrison. What would you think about this? Do you think with your knowledge of the young mind, particularly the young Western mind, that this might be a good means through to the
it
young
people? It is not people? A question of Western mind, Eastern mind. Any sincere student will take to it.
No, yeah, I was thinking in terms of the Western mind with its culture more than of philosophy.
Western mind, I do not find any difference between Western mind and Eastern mind. Because so many Western mind is changed.
Yes. This is all about.
So there was no difficulty. Two plus two equal to four is to be understood by the Western mind and Eastern mind. You cannot say, because you are Western mind, you will say, no, two plus two equal to five. You cannot say that. So, there may be some influence of the culture, but that is superficial. When you speak the real true science, and that is equally applicable to the Western mind and Eastern mind. There is no difference. If you speak the real truth, 2 plus 2 equals 4, mathematical calculation, nobody will deny, either Western mind or Eastern mind. He must be reasonable.
Yes.
And that's all.
That's it.
So we expect every human being rational. Eastern, Western, there is no difference.
As you see from my plans, really what we hope to do is to, if there is any cultural difference, to some extent eliminate that cultural difference.
The first thing is, therefore you have to understand that I am not this body. The cultural difference is on account of this bodily conception of life.
Yes.
But if we transcend the position of our bodily concept of life, we come to the spiritual platform, so there is no difference.
The difference is irrelevant then.
No. Just like we are talking, you have got a coat, I have no coat. That does not make any difference. We are talking as gentlemen, that's all. The last time when I was in Calcutta, I was invited by the Indo-American Cultural Society, and they gave me the subject matter, East and West. So I thought, we don't find any such distinction, East and West, when we come to the spiritual plane. This is all material plane.
We find when we're teaching, you know, really secular youngsters, that it's terribly difficult to get off this cultural veneer, you know.
Therefore, one has to understand first that I am not this body.
That's it. And you've got to believe the teacher, this is the big thing, isn't it? The teacher has got to be God-conscious. That, so he believes that there is the God-conscious.
He must realize that he is not this body.
Mm.
He is different from body. But I am encased now in this body under certain conditions. So at least this, and this is called gyan. So long one is in the bodily concept of life, he is affected with so many things. So this bhakti yoga begins when one is purified from the bodily concept of life. Sarvapadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvina nirmuktam. Now these boys, they are coming from different nations, but they never think that one is Englishman, another is American, another is Indian, another is African. No, we don't think that.
No.
At least we have surpassed that stage. If we have not advanced in any other place, at least we have advanced in this respect.
Yes.
We don't consider on the body the concept of it. What do you think? That is a problem.
Unfortunately, as we find, the youngsters that certainly that I teach have got such materialistic views.
If you keep the students as English boys or American boys, then it will be difficult. Then the cultural question is.
Yes. We found that this year's course, it's the first year, has been tremendously helpful. We brought the boys, I can't think anybody was here, but we brought the boys up to the London Temple. And in the very place. And they were thrilled to bits. We had one or two who made the usual silly comments, you know, which you'd expect. But they were embarrassed, you know. Everything that came over, which was interesting, was that they found that all the devotees were very kind, very loving, and very sincere. This came from even the really the most secular of boys with a very, very low intelligence. He could see and perceive and understand that this was how it was.
That is our general certificate everywhere.
In
the Americans, they are surprised. They inquire, are you American?
Yes.
The priest also, he surprised that they are our boy. They did not come to church, never cared for religion. And now they are after God, mad after God. What is this?
Yes.
They surprised.
Well, I think a lot of our boys could understand it, having been to a service, you know, attended Aarti, and they...
That is due to our strict following the principles. That is making them stout and strong spiritual platform.
This is surely it, that so many other movements as such and sectarian groups have compromised so much, haven't they? They, if one goes past the average English church, which is these boys' experience of religion, they pass the biggest cars in the neighbourhood on a Sunday morning. This is what they see. And of course, when they came to the temple, they found people living out a lifestyle which, even though was so totally alien from their own, they could feel that it was worthwhile.
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
fact, one boy we found listening to the George Harrison record. You can tell George this if you like. He was listening to the record quietly in the music room that we have in our school with the big speakers, you know, lots of noise. And he was reading these words. And he put the words down.
And
I was watching. Yes, living in the material world. And he sat there and he was praying. And I didn't interfere. And he came out of the room after having turned the record player off. And I said, well, you know, what were you doing in there? And he said, this record has been a complete experience to me. And that if George would know that. It was tremendous. Really tremendous to see this happening. George's record is so devotional. No, it's really beautiful.
I talked with him about the material world in his house. When?
Oh, last August, I think. Yes. Or July.
I went to his house, Henley and Daniel. He's a nice boy.
Yes.
Very nice. His wife is also very nice. Patty?
Patty, yes.
She's also very good.
Pass that on, please, to George. He should be very excited, I think, about that. This is very good. I'd like to thank you very much for giving of your time.
You are welcome, because you are sincere students searching after. I am prepared to help you.
I do hope that anything I produce will, you know, very adequately represent the movement. I'm going to give it to...
These students, they will benefit, if we...
I think so.
Yes, actually.
I hope so.
And it is the duty of the guardians to see that the children are actually spiritually benefited.
Mm.